What's good, Internet, and welcome to Session 60 of Super GG Radio. We made it 60 episodes. And yet, we have not gotten an HR complaint on the news. Where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent, I am your potent and powerful Materia Master, Sir Alex Arona. Guys, they just leave Materia on the ground in the game. It's pretty sweet. Also with me is our professional Moogle cosplayer, Joel DeWitt. Hey, Joel. You know how I how you like to give me fake spoilers? You're getting all the fake FF7 spoilers now.
Nice try, Alex. Even I know better than that to trust our podcast for legitimate gaming news. Doesn't Getty just make this stuff up for us to read?
Let's check with our host, Eric Getty Gettinger. Wait a minute. You're not our host! I knew you'd write this stuff. I don't think you'd go out for this way to make this stuff up. Would you, Getty?
Yeah, you know I totally do. I usually just think about the stuff that'll make me giggle, and then I put it in here, and you guys read it every week. Like this last time I was thinking about myself wearing a fat chocobo costume and eating a turkey leg.
That's actually a really funny thought. Also, it's even funnier that you write this stuff and then I butcher it. Well, there you have it, folks. Totally unreliable and a little sick and twisted. That's Super GG Radio in a nutshell. But that should all go nicely with this week as we scramble through two hot early adopters before I try to bring the news back our way. Then we should have some video game homework to hand in. Joel? Joel?
Yeah.
Did you finish the homework? Do you need another extension?
I'm not finishing it.
Okay, we'll move on. To early adopters, where we play alphas, betas, and games that require you to pummel people named Ugly John. This week, the first game, since it was in the intro, let's start with Treachery. Was it Treachery in Beatdown City?
Yep.
Man, this is a sloppy episode. Let's go. Treachery in Beatdown City. I saw this game as a beat 'em up side-scrolling brawler akin to, say, a Streets of Rage or something of the like. And it made me think of Joel because I do know that is your jam.
Joel, that's my bailiwick.
Yep. What? Bailiwick?
Means it's in his wheelhouse, bro.
Got it. Okay. Cool. New words are being learned here on this episode live.
I've heard that three times today already.
Fantastic. Joel, tell me about Treachery in Beatdown City.
Treachery in Beatdown City wants you to think that it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up. It's kind of a side-scrolling beat-em-up, but it's kind of not. So I'm going to preface this with, similarly to our video game homework, I did not finish it. I did put about an hour into it to at least get a flavor for what's going for. I gotta say, the intro has some of the best sprite work in the game, coupled with some of the most absurd, hit-over-your-head, unsubtle humor or parodying of stuff. So, like, it starts with this intro that is very akin to, like, a Bad Dudes, where it's giving you, like, the rundown of the situation, that the premise of the story. And it's, Daddy, you'll have to remind me, is it President Orama?
President Orama.
President Orama has been kidnapped.
By ninjas.
And are you a bad enough dude to, wait, no, sorry, wrong game. He's been stolen by ninjas in giving a speech during his third term as president, and then billionaire mayor Mike Moneybags calls a press conference to lock the city down. And, you know, guess what? It's your job as part of the Treachery and Beatdown City gang to find and save him?
Yes.
Did I capture that right?
That sounds right,
I mean, you do have to consider that the police have been suspended-o because of no dinero.
That was the way it was described to me.
Yep.
That's the way it was written. And all things considered, I thought it was very up in your face.
We're laughing about it right now, but when I first saw it, like, I audibly groaned. It's just... It's
more
a lot.
About the fact that it seems it's going for something very specific to be hyper kind of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the story being that, like, when you go up as high as to say president's been kidnapped, plus I'm shutting down all the police, plus everyone is super racist, it kind of becomes, I guess, a story that you have no way of feeling guilty for beating up everybody. Because everybody is generally awful, which is a way to do stuff, I will say. That, like, I want, like, you know, in some of these games, the classic tale of Nathan Drake from Uncharted, yes, I found a way to bring it there, is constantly just murdering everybody. And not everybody is the worst guy in the world, and yet he's murdering hundreds of people. And in this case, with Treachery and Beatdown City, there's never a question as to why would I kill all these people, because everybody is generally bad.
So before we delve further into the bad humor, let's go into the actual gameplay itself. So the game starts you off on like a map, and it's pretty much just like a dotted line to different waypoints to your different like sequences, like battle areas. And the first true battle area they put you is in front of aforementioned Ugly John, and like it is framing it to look like your side scrolling beat 'em up, like a River City Ransom almost. It's definitely going for like that super pixelated old school looking side scrolling brawler. The problem is that it's not, I mean, it has a punch button, but really, yep. It's more of a turn based thing almost. Like you've got that default attack that you can try to employ, but then there are also these action points that accrue over time, and you're sort of waiting for them to build up, and then you open your menu when you're close to within range of the enemy, and you are choosing from menu options of different attacks to employ, whether they're certain punch types or kick types. There's some grapple options for attacks, and then the enemy will take their turn, and you can choose to either just take it head on or try to blunt some of the damage by blocking. And I find that kind of fascinating. Like it made something that felt pretty dull kind of fresh in a way, where I could see potentially a game employing that effectively. Like, what I don't like about the gameplay that I had was that it feels slow and sluggish to move anywhere in this game. Like, you move like a snail, and then on top of that, you're not having any, like, jumping or anything to help you speed up your movement as you go along. I would kind of like to see in something like this maybe not being as quick and nimble enough to dispatch enemies with manual inputs alone, but it'd be nice to have some sort of mobility to make you feel like you're still able to zip around a little bit.
Yeah, I think that the game wants you to do the more plotting, methodical, I'm going to build these combos. And the parallel I drew was almost like a Xenogears, where you have this combo system built up of action points, and then you pick and choose how to use your combo points to perform an attack. Though you can move around the playing field like a brawler, when you start to go into a turn-based combo mode, it drops it down to a very Xenogears JRPG menu.
Mm-hmm.
But again, yeah, you still have like a punch, which is kind of funny, and then also your gauge can just fill up by walking around, so you can leave the range of your enemy and just wait for your meter to fill up so you can do more combos.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was all an interesting conceit. I did feel like it could feel snappier. The combo point system I like a lot. It's just that, like, at one point they tutorialize, move away from the enemy and wait until your combo meter fills up again. And I felt like there should be some other mechanic there. Moving away and do push-ups. Press these button prompts to really build up your combo meter again. Do something else to kind of keep you engaged, as opposed to move away, stop touching the controller for 15 seconds.
I'm going to go a different path, and I think this is where they should loop back in the manual combat and have it be something where it doesn't produce damage against your enemy, but maybe using manual punches and kicks and stuff produces the action points that allows you to choose the fight options that actually cause damage. Like, it gives some incentive to still retain some of that side-scrolling beat-em-up feel that it's going for, while making it more than just, like, an additional chip damage the way that the punch is right now.
That's a great idea, because then you're still being active and engaging in the combat, just not in the combo turn-based system. That way, at least you're doing something, because I find when I have to move away and stop playing and disengage from the game, I kind of disengage from the game.
Yeah, it veers a tad bit too much into the menu-based stuff. For the framing of the game, it feels off. And that might be more my predisposition towards, like, okay, side-scrolling games are this, turn-based RPGs are this, and it's not that never the twain shall meet, but if they're going to be doing, like, the peanut butter and jelly thing, it's got to meld together to feel like it's a natural fit, and it feels a little too rigid the way it is right now.
But the pixel art is kind of cool. Your character is very small and square on screen, and then during these cutscenes, it's very action pose. Your character's got a headband and is fully, like, ripped, and every character's kind of just, like, ripped, very cheesecake art, very 90s side of a arcade cabinet.
Oh yeah, they go full on cinematics when they're doing the little story sequences, and the pixel art there is great. The pixel art in action in the game is ugly, and I mean that as, like, it feels intentional, kind of. You know, when you're looking at the character models, especially, they, like, Ugly John, for example, he has a very deformed looking face, and there's also, like, a gym membership guy that meets you too in that first encounter, and he looks very kind of, like, busted up and ugly looking too, like it was, like, a purpose design choice and stuff. So it didn't bother me or anything, because I think it's intentional, but where it really shines is those story sequences.
Now, the humor, and the humor, honestly, I could see it being vulgar and offensive, but I could also see that there is a very heavy niche for that kind of, and I don't mean that in a way that, like, oh, I don't want to demean that. It's more the fact that there is definitely a style to it. If you've ever seen, say, like, the Toxic Avenger,
mm-hmm.
those old, like, very campy B-horror movies had that kind of story where, and, like, that could be from, like, some of those B action movies where, of course, a president is has been kidnapped, and of course everyone's kind of racist against Latinos. So I mean, like, look at the original RoboCop, right? That was a little bit on the vulgar camp.
My memory of the RoboCop movie is bitches leave. That's what it's boiled down to since I last watched it.
And that's what I'm saying, is that kind of goes up, like, in the same category as something like this, where it legitimately is like, oh, no comprendo. Like, saying that to a Latino to kind of be derogatory is a thing you can do.
I feel like they took it a tad farther than that. Like, it... So, let's see. Here's one. This is from Ugly John. How do I, El Mirror es dirty, necesitades mucho cleaning? Like that, you can sort of feign a character being racist without... That feels like it's a half step over, like, what could be seen in my mind as, like, they are making a character. They are not, like, you know, they're not being racist. They're just developing this character, and that's part of his personality. Where this feels like it's a tad more like we are also laughing at the fact that it, you know, this is being said, you know. So I didn't personally love it. You know, you can chalk it up to my personal tastes, but it felt like a tad too far for my sensibilities.
No, I completely understand. I'm more going into the idea that that could exist in a world for a very niche audience. But I also felt that it pushed the line a little too far to the point that it seemed too silly for me, too ridiculous out there. That I don't know if I would continue with a story like that.
And from the little bit we played, this is truly grounded in realism. So we expect our realistic racism in our 8-bit games.
Yeah, exactly. So overall, Treachery and Beatdown City, Joel, you felt like it had some great ideas, but felt a little short in those new mechanics.
I feel like there's an interesting idea there. I think it is underdeveloped for what would keep me grabbed into it. And the tone just does not match my sense of humor. Let's put it that way.
Getty, anything to add to this?
Nah, I probably played the most out of all of us.
And?
Said the least.
Exactly.
I know, you guys just really ran with it. One of the things that I particularly liked is the diversity of the characters and their movesets, so you don't have to play it just one way. You can try the other characters, and the enemies that you fight have not a 100% clear like counter system for fighting one person against another person, but they do tend to tell you, hey, when you see this kind of enemy, use this different type of moveset. So that was definitely kind of interesting. I definitely agree with Alex's comparison to Xenogears.
The PS1
where,
game.
Yeah, you have a set amount of points that you can use, or at least in your action, so you could do like a combo, or you could try and just do like one heavy move to knock out the other opponent. But as I got closer to the end of the first stage, I really had to balance which characters I was using, try and use the food items that I was picking up to make sure that I wasn't putting myself in too much danger. Because in the middle of each stage, there's like a mailbox or a box that you can break open, and usually there's a food item in there that'll give you a little bit of HP back. But you can also pick up food items in dumpsters and eat that. It's definitely an interesting game. I have to agree with the other hosts of the show and say that I don't know if the humor is 100% up my alley, but it was still pretty entertaining, all in all.
Do you think that you're going to keep up with this one?
I mean, I played pretty far into it. I don't know how much more there is to offer. It did feel pretty repetitive. Maybe if I ever feel like I want to know what happens in the story, yeah. But I really have to feel compelled to do so.
Okay.
I don't know. I might be open to the idea of an alternate reality with President Obama's third term. About now.
Okay, so Treachery and Beatdown City, there was some interesting concepts and ideas, but again, a little bit slow on some of that. But again, it's great to see new ideas. Now,
oh wait, before you have to throw the catch line or the tagline, button mashing is for losers.
Yep, that I remember that. Yeah,
that was probably the one bit of humor that landed with me. Just a nice easy parody of the old FBI warnings on arcade machines.
The one thing that I just wanted to throw this out there that I like the art, the kind of cheesecake muscular, like everyone's ripped art, because I remember when I was younger seeing a Street Fighter II cabinet that had a realistic looking Ryu and Ken or Ryu and Blanka fighting, and it was like a real person.
I was worried that you were going to say when you were younger you were buff, but we all know that's not true.
No, none of that's true. Never that. That's not a thing. Okay, moving on. The next game we played is called West of Dead. West of Dead is another open beta test that's currently happening. Getty, you took this one and said, man, this is my jam. Tell me about West of Dead.
Well, I think it was Sunday, and you were telling us all of the games that we were supposed to play for this week, and I was like, oh, all right, I guess I got to play something. No, I actually played everything this week.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
West of Dead. This is a, I'm going to say, roguelite game. The main character is like a Western dude, but maybe he's Ghost Rider. You know what? That's a good way to describe it. He's Ghost Rider. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
That should give you a good visual.
I'm on board.
Ghost Rider on Southwestern Vacation.
Yes, except I think that there was a snow level, so...
Yeah, I got the snow level.
Yeah.
It gets cold in the deserts.
I don't doubt that, but I don't know if it gets cold enough for snow very often.
Not too often. No.
Yeah. The setting, obviously we already dipped a little bit into that, but it's based in old, like, Wild West times. Your weapons and items that you can collect are also along those lines. So first thing that they do, definite Dark Souls treatment here, you walk into a room, you just get smashed. Like, can't do anything about it. And then you wake up and you're in a bar, and the bartender's like, oh, this happens every now and again. Like, oh, great. So then they throw some weapons at you, and they're like, okay, go kill stuff. So the mechanics of the game, you're moving around from room to room. It's procedurally generated. So lots of stuff that you'll probably see or not see.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will duck behind objects and have gunfights with the different bad guys.
What I liked is that there was an auto reload.
Yeah.
That was one thing I really enjoyed, because I could just hide out, and my gun would just slowly reload. Those reloads were slower based on the type of gun, so shotgun would go slower, and then just like a pistol. And yeah, you would go through these levels, finding different pieces of gear, like lanterns or grenades, different items like that. It is cel-shaded, and I had a ton of fun with this game. Before the recording, I wishlisted it on Steam.
Nice.
Yep. It's cel-shaded, going through these levels that are big and kind of sprawling. You don't know what's around every corner. Sometimes they throw bulls or dogs or something just like on all fours. Just like
weird hellhounds.
Hellhounds?
Yeah, that's what I got out of it. It seemed like it was the monsters from the first Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you can just find different types of guns, upgrade different pieces. And I don't want to always compare stuff, but there is after each level, it essentially kind of reminds me of... what am I thinking of? Dead Cells. There's a Dead Cells section where you spend your... What was the currency?
Man, I didn't play that game.
No, what was the currency in West of Dead? It's like souls? Sins? Sins or something?
It was souls.
Souls. So you spend your souls for upgrades, and then you have to refill your canteen or whatever the potion equivalent is, and then you open a door and you go to the next run of levels. So it actually reminds me of that kind of idea where there's a hub at the end of each world where you can... buy your upgrades and then move on to the next set of randomly generated levels.
But I mean, they throw a good diversity of weapons at you. It's not, at least in the experience that I had, there were several different kinds of handguns, shotguns, whether they be like actual full-size shotguns or sawed-off the version. You could pick up dynamite. Mm-hmm. Oh, one of the key mechanics of the game is that the monsters do not like light. So you can dive into a room and engage, like, a hanging bulb in the room, and it'll stun all of the monsters in there for a couple of seconds, which gives you a good opening to try and maim and slaughter them.
Yep, and I liked even shooting them in the dark. I was just kind of shooting randomly into spaces. And you don't run out of ammo, so it's like, it's fine.
You don't, but again, shooting into the dark is so inefficient.
It's fine, I reloaded. It was cool.
So for the controls, real quick, the controls is a twin stick shooting. It's move with left stick, aim with right, and then trigger to fire the trigger on it.
Yes.
Okay. And the flow of game, is it more like run and gun, or does it feel more like tactically, like picking and choosing your shots and dodging and running for cover and like counter shooting, or what?
It is 100% cover shooter, because running, there's a dash, kind of like a dash button, and as soon as you dash, you'll press almost directly against cover. If you're pressed up against cover and you hit dash, you'll hop over it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you're right up against it, and then you're aiming and firing. The cover is all destructible.
I mean, you can run and gun if you want.
I tried that, and there was two hellhounds and then just two dudes like just rapid firing on me. So I didn't find a lot of success there.
All right.
Yeah. Just to add another piece of clout for this game, voiced by Ron Perlman.
I was going to say.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, voiced by Ron Perlman. So that's pretty cool. You know, I like Hellboy. Hellboy's a good guy.
I don't think this is the first video game he's voiced either.
No, he was. I think he was the voice of the narrator in Fallout 3.
I wouldn't know that.
Wait, he's no, the War Never
Wasn't
Changes
that,
guy.
Liam Neeson?
No,
that was the father from Fallout 3. Yeah,
yeah. No, well, Ron Perlman was the War Never Changes. That guy. Fact.
Excuse me, Snake said war has changed.
Yeah.
No, Snake said
your facts straight.
Love can bloom on a battlefield. He didn't even say that.
Snake, he didn't say that. We don't even know which Snake said anything anymore. None of this makes sense. Yeah, make sure that Kevin doesn't listen to this one for another 3 months. Otherwise, he's going to figure out that I am dropping hints here.
Okay,
it's fine. He won't listen to it for another 3 months anyway.
Yeah, I saw him talking about one of the pickup lines we used on the news from like 2 months ago. And I was like, damn, he's behind. All right.
We're good.
Yep.
West of Dead. West of Dead, a very fun beta test I would recommend to anybody. And I have wishlisted it because it's coming out this year, and I will be one to buy it. I wonder if it's coming to Switch. I should look into it. Hold on. I have a thing here. Hold on.
You have a... Yeah, it's called...
You got a Switch thing?
Xbox is... That's the... Yes, Switch! Yes! Yes.
Same release date?
No.
No.
Not yet. Not yet. But, again, beta testing is currently live, so... until November 20... That was last year. Okay, so this article... it says it's coming out this year. That's all I got. But I am excited for West of Dead, and I think anybody should try it. Joel, if you didn't get a chance to this week, I do recommend trying to go back at some point this weekend.
You know, it's going to be a hard sell getting me into another cover shooter for a while.
We'll find out why later. But just for right now, I'm going to say, throwing this out there, cards on the table... I could beat you both in a fist fight. Boom! On to the news. Be right back.
Friendship bread. You should come over so we can share it. It's hot and ready for you.
This doesn't work, Joel. Social distancing. Leave it on the front porch and walk away. See? Okay. Getty was banned. Banned, Getty.
I know. I feel bad.
Hey, but we still haven't gotten a report on it from HR, so we're okay.
Yeah, but Steve didn't like it. That's worse than HR.
Yeah, he gave you a thumbs down, buddy. Okay. So, first piece of news this week, PS5 still coming out, but in limited quantities. Now, this is obviously because of COVID and everything going on right now. That being said, I plan on buying one. Joel?
I shouldn't. I won't lie. If the opportunity arises where they open pre-orders and it's sitting out there long enough, I might. I am non-committal for now, though. We don't know enough about the damn thing still. if the thing is just like it plays the newest games, you know, on that generation, I'm probably less inclined to jump on it. If the backwards compatibility stuff about it being like across the span of PlayStation ends up being true, then I might be inclined to jump in just because it gives me a good excuse to untether some other consoles and stuff. But I don't know, man. I'm not sure I'm there yet.
Getty?
I don't know yet. I'm kind of in both boats. Like, I do want to go run out and grab it, but it's not going to be for a while. And if it's going to be limited quantities, I don't know that I want to, you know, grab one of those build 1.0 and then it explodes on me.
What console exclusives are going to come out in the launch year, especially if the consoles themselves are going to be supply constrained? Like, I remember when I got PS4, I don't even think it was in the first year, but the first month, I played more of Rezogun than any other game I got on that thing, just because it was like past year one and I still felt like I didn't have that much to play.
Also, so, name one console that at launch was faulty. Don't answer that. We all know the answer is 360.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, for me, it's either PS5 or Oculus Quest, and I'm really fighting that urge.
Well, just use your Trump bucks on both of them.
It's very possible. We'll see.
What kind of voice was that?
It's possible. That was me saying that through my teeth.
Gritted teeth.
Yeah. It's like Joel in Animal Crossing. It's only a matter of time, man.
Look, if PS5 cost 200,000 bells, then it'd be done and done, but...
Wait, while we're on the topic of Animal Crossing, Joel, yep. Is that picture serious? Do you live like a serial killer?
It had to come up at some point.
Not anymore. Beth appropriately shamed me, and then everybody piled on, so I did spend a few minutes to at least add a little color and decor to my home. I'm up to three, there's about like two or three things per room. It's not fully furnished. And you'll be happy to know that the urinal is out of the living room, though.
In the middle of the floor.
Hey, it's the entertainment. What do you want me to say?
I'll tell Beth. She'll be ecstatic to come by next time. Okay, next piece of news. Final Fantasy VII Legacy Collection, rumored for Switch. It's going to include Crisis Core and Dirge of Cerberus. Real quick, two things. One, would that all it would include? Is there any other games that are... I mean, would it just have the Final Fantasy VII original game?
Advent Children.
A copy of Advent Children. Oh, man, you know... it's not connected. They should release that first Final Fantasy movie.
The original
first
one?
First Final Fantasy movie?
Yeah, Spirits...
Spirits Within...
Yeah, let's watch that.
They can't call it Final Fantasy VII Legacy Collection, then.
Exactly, I know.
The ruins of branding.
I say we all watch that. Let's move that.
That's the next movie night.
I'll think about it.
Figure out a way to Twitch stream that with all of us watch.
We can now do that with certain movies. We'll see.
We can now use the internet.
I'll look into it. Also, second piece of this news that I wanted to mention. I remember watching Joel. He purchased Dirge of Cerberus day one and then proceeded to sit down and play it. And I kept checking in on him. He was so upset. So upset. And he still kept going and saying, "No, I paid for this. I want it to be okay. I want to play it."
That sounds like Joel.
It was a different time where my time was less valuable than the money I spent for the game. So, yeah. You know, you might start memory about that, Alex. Yeah, I know you know. There is a boss. It was like
I even know this.
Yeah, mid game, and you're not supposed to beat the boss. It's an unbeatable boss, but they don't make it so impossible to where I spent a half hour just like hitting the boss, getting beat back, regenning health or using potions, and it was just a complete stalemate, and I was just like, finally, wait, am I supposed to lose to this boss? And I let myself die, and then the story moved on.
You were pretty defeated.
I think I might have turned off the game after that.
But did you break the disc in half and then go buy another copy of it to break in half?
No, I didn't commit fully to it. I'm sorry, Jay.
Okay.
Is it sad that I would consider getting this?
I would very much consider
it. At least for Crisis Core.
Core was excellent. It really was.
I recall enjoying that. I didn't finish it, though.
I love where they try to nuke the town, and they make you do a mini game where you have to destroy each missile with your sword.
Spoilers, Alex.
That was really stupid.
True story. Stupid. That's the same technology the U.S. government uses for its nuclear payload.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tap it down with a buster sword.
Don't fat check that.
You know we won't. Yeah.
No, I'll definitely buy this. I think I would. I feel like I would buy that. I would like to see what else comes with it, or if it's just those two games. I'm curious.
So. I'm confident you'll buy it. I'm more curious if you'll play it.
He just wants to know when you'll send it over to him.
Yep. There it is. Last piece of news. Sadly, Jason Schreier, no longer with Kotaku. Now, we don't normally speak on journalists themselves, but I just wanted to throw out there that Jason Schreier, that man is an institution. And I'm sad to see see him go. I'm interested to see where he goes. Joel, you made an early prediction.
I already think I'm probably wrong about it, because I saw that this outlet did an article on him leaving.
Oh, okay.
But my guess was actually Washington Post, because they actually have a gaming section now. And my thought was, like, his stuff tends to be something more bordering actual journalism, which I feel like would be served well in that kind of outlet. And part of his announcement was also saying that he was leaving Kotaku to go to another gaming outlet, too. So my thought was, like, people either in the industry seem to either go independent, or they do, like, a step up in gaming media. And I don't know about the perceived quality of Kotaku anymore, but for a while, at least with him around, it seemed like a premier outlet. And my thought was, like, what's the next step up? And that kind of seemed like an obvious choice, but I don't think so anymore.
See, I mean, no, there is another industrynews.biz is another very prestigious company that their news is very, like, industry focused, where he kind of was going anyways.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious if it kind of goes with them. Well, where did Mike Mahardy go? Polygon?
I think it was Polygon, yeah.
What if it's an exodus from everything into Polygon?
Well,
hiring in mass.
I mean, I don't want to get into the weeds of this stuff, but
yeah,
my understanding is that there is a lot of labor challenges with a lot of video game news media right now, where the writers have or are trying to unionize, and the ownership of some of these outlets are changing in ways that seem like more of a hostile takeover and gutting out of things to try to maximize the profit rather than a sustainable business.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's that. If you are on Twitter and you view some of the people working there's comments, that's how you perceive it, right? So it seems kind of a tumultuous time to be in that industry as it is. And yeah, I could see why, if that's the case, he might feel like his talent could be better used elsewhere.
Okay. Jason Schreier, no longer with Kotaku.
Rest in peace.
Very curious as to see where he goes. Joel, do you want to take us out of here?
Well, the bread has cooled off, but still ready for pickup. You aren't coming over, are you? Damn news. That's stone cold.
That's just sad. Take a break. And we're back. Back with the backlog vlog, where we finally get references to games that came out while we were in high school. It's homework time, bitches. Joel's kind of laughing because he started trying to talk about this game and trying to give us a rant before we kept recording. That's a break. Let's talk about the game now. This week, we're talking about Gears of War. Getty assigned homework. I did it. Joel didn't. He owes me 20 bucks now.
What? I made no such wager. Don't you dare voice that on me. Look, if we were grading on a 100% scale, I would get a solid B-. Okay.
Gears of War. Getty, we're going to start this off real quick as I hit my table really hard. Getty, can you tell me, why did you feel the need to assign Gears of War to us?
It was a game that two out of the three of us have not played, and I got Game Pass and wanted to try it out.
Oh, so there wasn't a deeper meaning behind why you chose Gears of War.
No, it's not supposed to, like, oh, this was totally supposed to be a punishment, like, shame on you guys. Like, actually, with all of the games that have come out for Gears of War, they're on, what, they have at least
five.
And I want to say that there was one or two more that was in there. And now there's a tactics game that's coming out later this...
And a Funko Pop game on your phone.
Look at that. But it's a long-standing game. It's been around for quite a while. It's a little bit of a shame that you guys... I don't think either of you had finished it prior to this, so...
No. I was asking why you felt like... it's worth talking about together as a group. And in this case, it sounds like you think that it was influential throughout.
I didn't say that at all. I just wanted you guys to play Gears of War so we could talk about the coal train.
That guy got me pumped. Okay, hold on. Gears Pop is out. So that's a thing. I just pulled it up on my phone. I will not be playing that.
Nah, when's the tactics game come out? Because now I'm eyeballing that.
Okay, I'll look it up. But Gears of War is a cover shooter, and it... Okay, so it's like they built Star Wars with this story, but they didn't...
What are you talking about?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Follow me here. I'm fixing... I have a point here. Okay, so Gears has been going for four games, and I have heard people discuss the story. Brock, friend of the site... has told me that the story does develop somewhere relatively interesting. Getty, you yourself have told me that story develops into something semi-interesting, but it's like they planned... It wouldn't make sense if they didn't plan it like a Star Wars where Episode 1, Episode 2, Episode 3... Because if Gears 1 had come out and failed, and they never made a sequel, none of this would make any sense.
It still doesn't make any sense.
Really? I thought that the story went places and you got at least some explanation.
Honestly, have no idea. I fell off the wagon after the second one. I think Steve and I tried to play some of the third one, but we never... That was one of the times in our lives when we were living away from each other, so we didn't have a way to meet up and play through it. Because I honestly, like, playing through this now compared to us playing it back in the day... I know you guys are going to say that it was so hard. It is hard playing solo. You need a second person to help you through it.
You know, this is stuff I could have known before we started.
I told you.
He explicitly said the reluctant spouse
of your choosing.
Yeah, he suggested Beth, and I said that I might subjugate her to it. I didn't. I actually gave her an option. Surprisingly enough, Space Marines killing weird insect aliens... She said no.
They're not even space marines. They're just, like, regular bros on Earth. Bro marines.
They just want to hang out, man, and, shotgun some dooskies.
Yeah, except they never got to, at least in this one.
Listen to some 311, you know? By the way, getting end of April.
End of April? Tactics. Okay. Yep. Well, maybe quarantine will last till the first week of May so that I can pretend that I need the game.
I think it will.
Okay, so anyway, what I was saying was that the story, and I am told it does continue and it progresses. Like, I think Gears 4, you're playing as their kids. So yeah. You get some progress and you get explanation. It's just interesting to me that with a single game, there is, like, Star Wars. Take Star Wars, New Hope. There is still a through line that gives you closure to a certain extent. If you stopped watching after New Hope, you still got a very good story. But Gears is just, it's this rad idea that, like, they were just flying high with no net and just being like, well, here it is. Hope you like it, because you're not going to get shit about that story. You're not going to know what's going to happen. Who are these characters? Oh, we're breaking him out of prison. Why was he in prison? What prison? What happened? Nope. Let's go. Here's a gun.
To this day, those are still the things that bother me. I was like, oh, I'm playing the Ultimate Edition. Maybe they'll add some more story beats to it. Nope. I think they added a comic that you can unlock if you progress by finding the cog tags.
Right. But
honestly, I think I found like 23 of them. So I was still short and I didn't get to unlock all the comics.
I think Alex, I agree with your point, but the way I would describe it is that there is a difference between plot and narrative. Mm-hmm. Like there is a plot in this game, which is basically you are a group of this ragtag military corp of an unknown, like, allegiance or alliance, fighting these underground beast creatures in a war. Your objective is to basically beat them, but they sort of dangle this one thing, which is like a what are they called? It's like the term is like Chekhov's gun or something like that, where it's like they introduce this thing, and if they introduce this thing, you have to use it in a plot. Yeah. You know,
that's a Chekhov's gun.
Yeah. So it has a plot, but it doesn't have much of narrative. Like, there's not much motivation for the characters. There isn't really any meaningful drama or interaction between them. It's all banter, and it's all bad action movie cliches. Like, I'm pretty sure the plot is, or the draft of the script is just literally like somebody ran through a weekend watching a bunch of 90s action movies and took all the different quips and then blended it together and spat it out.
Yeah, it's like how many times did they jump and run from explosions in this game? And I don't want one of the things that I when we were discussing this idea, I had brought it up to Brock, who had told me a lot of people think this is like a meathead game, but the story goes places. There is general moments of emotion, and also the gameplay is just very fun, easy to pick up. It's very simple, and I agree with the gameplay. The gameplay is you're snapped to cover, you aim outside of the cover, you shoot. And I was one of those people that I never played these types of games, so I came to them super late with games like Uncharted, and I guess that's not as late in the game as some other games, but even then, I think I started with Uncharted 3, so yeah, I came late to the game. But I was like, okay, I know this routine. Duck, cover, run out, shoot some people. And that's fine, mm-hmm. except for the fact that, no, you shoot from cover, you go out there and run, you dead. Like, yep. Like within like 3 shots, you're gone.
Yep.
So that I thought was kind of took some getting used to for me, where I really had to sit back. I really had to just, all right, I'm just hiding here for a while. But as it comes to it, I guess I just didn't have context for what was happening. I understood, Joel, that there was a plot. You needed to map out the tunnels so you can blow it up. But I never felt like a context to it. Like, they literally break him out of prison and he's already kind of armored up. And then just like, here's a gun, you're coming with us. And I go, why?
Well, yeah, like, you have no reason to be motivated. I mean, invested with the character, right? There's nothing pulling you to root for Marcus or any of this team. They're kind of all, you know, assholes to each other anyway. I mean, it's framed like a sort of, you know, begrudging ribbing against each other. They allude to some sort of like history with Marcus that they, as far as I've gotten to, they haven't delved into yet.
wait, hold on. They had history with him? From what I remember, they just heard of him.
They alluded early on about him being broken out of prison and as a term of doing so, joining this corps. Right?
Dom Getty? Totally well, knows him. I don't think he
Dom knows him?
Baird or the Coltrane.
Because the other two keep asking, like, oh, I've heard of you. But they never really give context that, like, oh, I know you. So that's kind of where I just felt so disconnected throughout, is if only because I couldn't figure out what my point was. Why was I here? Yes, if I'm in prison and someone breaks me out, hands me a gun, goes, we gonna murder some aliens, I'd be, what are we doing? Like, hold on. If there's aliens out there murdering everybody, I'm okay in here.
Yeah, but I think A New Hope was a good comparison you made at the start, because A New Hope thrusts you into this world that you know nothing about, but they focus on the main few characters and their motivations and actions and character development. It stumbles in that second part here, from what I played.
Okay. Now, yeah, that's kind of where I stumbled on it, was that I needed some more, and I just thought also it was just a bold choice to do that for game one.
Yep.
Like, that's like, okay, you better be paying us for game two already, because if the thing flops, we got nothing. We already got halfway there. We got to get the other half out.
Yeah, I mean, and some of this is probably critiquing it by today's standards, when I feel like a lot of games back then didn't do all that much with storytelling to really invest you in it, other than RPGs, really. So it's probably in the same band of quality as most video game writing back then.
Hmm. Okay, maybe you're right. Again, also not having played like Halo 1. But I'm still working on that one. Now, the gameplay. Cover shooter, swapping weapons every once in a while. They practically give you a Chekhov's gun with that gun that just calls down a satellite laser beam.
It's called the Hammer of Dawn. Was that what it was called?
The Hammer of Dawn.
Which, I liked the way that looked. I liked the way that worked. I wish it wasn't so scripted.
Like
being able to use it outside of the specific combat that you had to.
Yes.
Yeah, they
like,
really
I wish that I could have just put it in my back pocket.
They were just rubbing it in your face every chance. Oh, the satellites are offline.
Yep. Because I tried. I kept it with me.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to work eventually.
One of the first times I hand that off to you, I picked it up, used it on an enemy, and then I thought, like, okay, I'm done with this now. And I drop it and go, like, two rooms forward. And then all of a sudden they're like, pull out the Hammer of Dawn. And I was like, oh, I got to backtrack all the way over to this room where there's a bunch of dead bodies littered around in other guns, trying to find the gun on the floor. Oh, is that it? No, that's another one of those chainsaw guns. Okay, oh, there it is. Now, which one do I want to drop? And then go back to the enemy. Oh, and, you know, I didn't realize I needed it before I blew most of my bullets on my ammo before doing that. But
That's why it's easier to have a second person. You need that second person so that one person can be like point and be like, all right, I got the hammer. And then the other person can keep the other weapons.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But I know, Joel, that you're kind of like a little bit frustrated with this. I had a relatively painless experience with the game getting through it. I definitely saw a lot of things I play now reflected in this game, including the snap to cover in West of Dead. This felt, I could see that being a mechanic that didn't exist as much then, and this was like a brand new breathtaking idea.
Yeah,
so I felt like the snap to cover was a little on the inelegant side, and I did that. It seems like it's more often than not when I play some of these games, they never nail it. I kind of feel the same way as Assassin's Creed. Like Assassin's Creed, I feel like the parkour stuff always feels a tad bit off with how it'll want to affix you to a surface, and it won't always necessarily be the one you were trying to grab onto. But I found myself several times sort of like trying to grab cover on a surface. It affixes to the wrong surface. I'm trying to get off of it. The controller's not understanding the sort of like secondary input of me trying to pull away from it. It instead is shuffling me to the side of this wall that I was covered behind, and I'm continuing to be shot at and mowed down. But, you know, I say that with the full understanding that this isn't typically my genre. Shooters aren't like my go-to thing, so I've already got a little bit of a learning curve, or at least like less patience for some of that stuff. But that is part of what really graded me during my time. And really, like my turning point where I started to get a little bit better was framing playing it as a shooting gallery, because that's really kind of what it is. You have to affix yourself to a wall and then wait for them to pop up, then you pop up, take your shots, then pop back down, wait your turn for next time. And it took me a little bit too long for me to understand that, like, running forward as you're going back and forth between lanes is not an effective way to go through this.
No, you really gotta, like you said, just kind of hang out and just shoot and gallery your way through it, which is, that's, yeah, that I kind of started doing that pretty close to right off the jump when I realized that running through those stages just gets you murdered. So that all being said, I got some beef here that I kind of want to talk about, just throw this in there too, because I know, Joel, you got some harsh criticisms. I thought the game was fine for that genre and for that time and place. Getty, that chainsaw gun was bullshit.
The chainsaw gun?
Are you talking about trying to use the chainsaw?
Yes, because yes. I saw
because
everybody...
if you get hit, then it like stops you from using it. So you have to make sure that nothing hits you.
There's also just no way of telling, or at least when I played, I felt like there was no way of telling when it would actually work. Like, you got the just melee button, and sometimes when you're getting close to the enemy, it'll rev up with a vroom, vroom, and then some half the time it felt like, okay, you walk right up and hit, and you're just mowing straight down, and just the scream that Marcus or anybody else makes is this awful, like, you felt like they're being cut in half kind of noise.
Wait, you got it to work?
I did get it to work. Yeah.
A lot.
I could never get it to work. Whenever I'd hold it, it would just rev, and then I would do the attack button, and he would just kind of like...
No,
nudge.
You don't have to do the attack button. You hit the button, you hold it, and then you walk up to something, and he chainsaws it in half. You don't hit it multiple times.
No, that's stupid. That's straight up stupid. And again, it was deflating and more infuriating to me because I would be sitting there with these stupid NPC characters dying left and right, and then I would have to res them, and they would die, res them, die, res them, die, and that's all fine and good. And then I'd look over to the left, and I'd see them do this badass screaming, just chainsawing guys down, and I'm like, well, I'm going to do that too. Ugh. It's not working. It's not working.
I'm sorry, Alex.
Yeah, it really was like a bummer because I was like, that looks sick. I want to do that. And I could never, like, it was because I thought that you had to hit it because I walked up to it and it wouldn't do anything. So I was like, well, I got to hit a button. And he would just like nudge it and then it wouldn't do anything. So I was bummed.
Guys, how often do you think they have to change those saw blades?
Never.
Well, they're not blades, they're chains.
I mean, do you not know how a chainsaw works?
He does not.
No, I don't know. I don't own a home, guys. I don't own a home.
I don't know. The game really doesn't go into much of anything. They don't really cover how, I guess the only thing that they talk about is the Hammer of Dawn. Everything else seems pretty junked up to begin with. Mm-hmm. Even even the technology that they're trying to get to use to map out the underground caverns, is they're like, oh, this might work. Like, oh, Jesus. All right.
Oh, man.
All right, well, it's time for you to pay the piper, Joel, $20.
I did not.
Oh, Alex. So I have one question.
Yeah, hit me.
Actually, two, I guess. Mm-hmm. Since I, in the original game, they did not add that Brumac fight. Yeah.
Okay.
How did you fare with that? Because Dom kept dying on me, like, right away at the beginning of the fight, and it would completely throw me off.
Well, okay. First off,
that fight was bullshit.
That fight was bullshit. But, I keep saying, like, that part is bullshit. When I played a bunch of that game, and there's large swaths of that game that I enjoyed. There are plenty. That cart thing was cool. Didn't like that I had to go to a second power plant.
No.
But I definitely liked that you could fall through the floor. That puzzle was cool. There was a lot there that was fun. Even the art design. I liked their gear. I liked how thick and heavy it was. There's a game called Darksiders and Darksiders 2. Their armor is thick and heavy, and I like the look of it. It feels weighty, and this game feels weighty. I just want to get those out there before I start going into why this stuff is bullshit. The one level where you had to avoid the dark, that was a pain.
Yep.
Fine and good. I could get past it. Bullshit. But there was one section. I made it to the other side, and it was like it was one of those things where if you're in a fight, if your guy goes down, you have to res him. But once the fight's over, your guy pops back up. Your secondary guy. He just pops right up automatically. And it was funnier because I finished a fight and I ran across the dark area and I'm in a lighted area. He's all the way in back. He pops up, runs in the dark, gets killed, pops up, runs in the dark, gets killed, pops up, keeps going in the dark. He died four or five times just trying to get to where I was.
Damn.
So that was real funny. My NPC was being stupid. Then that last boss.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about.
Yeah, he could throw those bats on you, which is bullshit because that's a one-hit kill, for sure. There wasn't a good way for that fight to go. I didn't like... And a lot of these, I felt like I could do my own way. I could figure out, like, oh, I can run and gun this area, I can do run and gun that area. In that game, I felt like I needed the crossbow, and the only way I could do it is just fire the crossbow as fast as possible, and then throw as many grenades as fast as possible because there was no other way around it. And I had to have died to that guy 15 times to the point that I felt like Joel, where I was saying I might not finish this game. But I pressed on. I looked at a couple YouTube videos and nothing really gave me a hint that there was some sort of key. So I was trying to go around him and use the chain gun. I was trying to sneak behind him, be stealthy, and shoot him whenever I could. I tried to shoot the bats away, blow them up, and then shoot him when he was open. You know, getting rid of his shield. All of those tactics, which, again, I read online. Get rid of the bats, and then that's how you get rid of his shield, then you wail on him. That was not the case. All I needed to do was continuously shoot him in the face with a crossbow and then throw a bunch of grenades. And that was it. Literally, I was dying. I was, like, he threw the bats at me. They were killing me. My life bar was dying, and he just died, and then it went into a cutscene.
You can do it. What you do is that some of the cover has light on it. So as long as he doesn't destroy that cover, then when he sends his bats at you, they can't attack you. And that's when you pepper him. So what I did is I ran up to that first area, made sure that I was in the light, started to hit him with the chainsaw gun, and then once he would send the bats, I would pop up and hit him with the sniper rifle in the head. And I think it's after four of those, he goes down. But at the same time, he's also walking towards you, so you got to do it real quick.
Yeah, and see, I was just... There was no tactic that was working because I honestly was trying to hide around. I was using all the cover, trying to shoot him in the back, doing all these different tactics, and it was not happening. It just wasn't for me. So I was like, well, I better just unload on his face and hopefully that works. And again, I was, give me another, you know, second and a half and I was going to be, I'll have to restart because I died. Yep. So last boss, very difficult. What did you have another question?
No, that was it. to ask you how you did on the last boss, because even way back in the day, that guy was the biggest headache.
Yeah, and supposedly, from my little understanding, that is a very specific character.
Oh, made him into, like, the antagonist of this game, and he has zero bearing over anything, really. That's one of the things that pissed me off. It's like, oh, you have to kill this guy, like, he's terrible. He killed your commanding officer, like, right at the beginning of the game. All right, he's dead. That's it. And then that's like, ho-ho, little did you know, we are many, for we are the locust.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that at all. Yeah. Joel, my question for you, how far did you get?
Start of Act 5.
Okay.
Oh.
So you got to...
Is that the on train. The train then?
No, before the train.
Oh, that's right. You got to get to the... You're at the train station.
I will say, I am planning on finishing this. So...
Okay.
We can talk about if I have any different experiences towards that part, but I sort of mainlined as much of Act 4 as I could today. And for some reason, I had in my head that Act 4 was the last of it. And it definitely felt like it was crescendoing into an end. And then you go to his house for some reason?
Yep.
Just because.
Just because.
And, yeah.
Apparently he rich.
Well, was, at least. Yeah. I don't know what money is like in this world anymore, but...
Yeah. No, I can't. That's the one thing I did feel about it for a 12-hour game, a 10-hour game. I still felt like it dragged when it started. Like, the theater was a cool level. The underground was a cool level. But I felt like when you go to your second power plant, that I thought that we don't need to do this again. Yep. Okay, rating time. Rating time, rating time. We rate our video game homework. Getty, hit me with what you would give from an F to an S rank.
Solid B minus.
Okay. For me, I'm saying C. Flat C. Joel?
C. I feel like I have a bit of a Heartwood problem where I wasn't playing a lot of it right. the way it's intended to be played. But yeah. Even with that, there's a lot I take issue with in this game.
I like the ideas, and I like where it led gaming in the future. I didn't like that last boss. It took it from a B- to a C, honestly, the last boss.
What about that car sequence?
You know, I didn't have a problem with it so much, that except for the fact that they are constantly saying, man, you sure do suck at this. Well, I don't know. You got bad mechanics, sir. Why can I not shine the light?
I have less problem with that, and they're calling out clock locations, and they were never right. So mad.
Yeah, I just started spinning in circles. Okay, I am next to pick the video game homework. I'm not going to say it's punishment. I've already made it clear it's never supposed to be punishment. It's supposed to be interesting ideas. But for now, we're going to take a break where Getty has asked me to pick his next game, or games, and I have a bonus segment to spring on all of you guys. So let's be right back. Some bonus segments. The first bonus segment, Getty has suggested, what should I be playing?
No, I need you to tell me.
What do you mean? What games you got?
I don't know, man. You just tell me what to play.
All right. Well, let's see what we got here so far. Tidal Shock.
He's got COVID cash to burn. Come on.
Oh, you got COVID cash
to burn. No, it's pronounced Trump Bucks, gentlemen.
Okay.
Excuse me.
COVID cash.
Oh.
I'll make sure my wife doesn't hear this ever.
That's a tall order, my friend. Mm. Are you looking to get that Oculus?
No, you are, right?
I am. No, I'm not doing anything. Well, okay. Let's think here. Looking at my current list of games, you got that Final Fantasy VII?
I got that Final Fantasy VII.
You got that below?
Is that the game that you gave me that I should be playing? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I should be playing.
You got that below?
Yeah, I'll play below.
Okay, you got that Persona 5?
I got Royal, boy.
Okay.
Nice.
Now, hold on, I'm going to throw one out there that wait, might be fun. Just
Lisa just texted me and said, what? Cut it out with the Trump Bucks crap. She's downstairs and she can hear it. Oh, I'm in trouble.
Man, you are in so much trouble. Okay. I'm looking for something else here. I'll come up with something. I'll come up with something for you. I'll find something good. I got ideas, Skitty.
Okay.
I got ideas. Super Hot.
Oh, yeah, I have that too.
Good choice.
Super Hot. Play Super Hot. It's 2 hours long.
Yeah, it's breezy. You can knock that
out. Shut up and play Super Hot. Then come back to us and talk about it. Moving on. We had a segment roughly... When, it wasn't even a segment. It was it news?
It's like 4 years ago.
Just when we were talking about SteamWorld Dig 2. Well, whenever we did, we talked about SteamWorld Dig 2. And we had made reference to how that town screen has a real sick beat that I could just sit there and jam to all day. And made reference to a rap to it. And asked someone to rap to it. So big brother of the site, Philip Arona, has written and recorded a rap to the SteamWorld Dig Town soundtrack. Here you go.
All right, take two. Starting at the 30-second mark. Turn my headphones up a little bit. Yo, yo, yo. SteamWorld Dig, a sequel so big. It's a deep cup, so you better take a swig. It's intoxication that'll send you to the brig. It's not Steamcraft, but I built an oil rig. A part two with heart. Hit that button, start. But this a variation, so we're playing Steam with Cart. This is straight from the heart. About to make my mark. Pull off to the side, now I put this thing in park. Trying to do my best, putting on a vest. This is no intruder, this is Steam with auto chess. The mind that I bless, live it, digest. Thoughts that I express, the time that we invest. Super GG Radio, this is how we flex. Yes, and on to the next show. Next review, next thing to do, the next flow. Yo, and now you know, you know, you know, you know. SteamWorld Dig 2, Super GG Radio 2020, it's time to go, go, go.
So that was pretty good. I thought that had some quality to it. It took some work. What did you guys think?
You want to go first, Joel, or you want me to go first? I was going to say, I was going to be a gentleman and let you go first, but yeah, no, that was really solid. He drops a couple of other games in there, at least talks about auto chess. Definitely trying to bring it back around to the show, bringing up Super GG Radio, repping us.
Also bringing up all of our ideas like SteamWorld Auto Cart.
Yeah,
Cart and then SteamWorld Auto Chest.
That's what
I didn't mean to give it the awkward pause. I was waiting for her to go first.
We're too nice.
Phil's got good flow there. And it just proves again that, that track is great backtracking for something like that. So, let's release the SteamWorld Dig 2 Town Challenge. Anybody who listens who wants to create their own rap to the town music of SteamWorld Dig 2, submit it to superggradio@gmail.com and we'll pick a winner.
Oh, I would love to do that. That sounds like a fantastic contest that I will post on Twitter.
You know, at the very least, maybe we'll get Hartwood to submit it like 3 months from now when he listens to this.
I think he would be somebody that would jump on this.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Absolutely.
What? And with that, we're going to move on to one last thing, where we give one last sentence, one last statement to start off our weekend, and you, the listener, into the weekday. For me, I played Creature in the Well for a review and to discuss it for this podcast. I have since beat Creature in the Well, and there is one boss fight in there that, no lie, took me close to 3.5 hours. Not Jeez. One fight, just repeatedly, over and over and over, beating my head. And I would take breaks. I would get up, be shaking, be like, because it's so tense. I'm wearing out my square button. My square button doesn't, it's kind of very, now, very squishy. Now? No, it just won't, it doesn't, it presses down, but it doesn't come back right away.
Dang.
And, yeah, and so, I can't. I take breaks. I'm shaking. I'm mad, and I take the dog for the walk. Take for dog for a walk. Come back. I'm like, all right. Well, time to do it again. And I'd work from home. Get off work. I'm like, well, I have some extra time now. I don't have to drive. I don't have to do anything. I got off work early. I'm gonna play this game. 2 more hours. Grinding my head against it. You know, once I beat that boss, it just wasn't the game. It was the boss, because I beat the game afterwards. The last boss was nothing. Comparative to that boss. So, I don't know what it was. It was a weird spike, and I just want to say I am glad. I like that game. I'm glad that boss is out of my life. Joel?
Wait, what am I supposed to play?
Well, I mean, does it matter?
Just kidding.
You're going to play Animal Crossing and then say I didn't play the other ones.
Yep.
You have to get a toilet in your Animal Crossing home.
Mission accomplished. I already got one.
Yeah, urinal doesn't count.
I already got it one. I got a toilet, too. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Getty?
We still do this segment? I'm kidding. I need to make more headway in Final Fantasy VII. I feel like I'm very far behind, even though I think I played for like 4 or 5 hours last Saturday.
You know it would help?
If I eat a whole bunch of Butterfingers so I can get the extra...
Tifa theme?
Yeah, the extra theme.
That was real degrading because I wanted that theme, and then I legitimately had to... I bought them, and then you go to the website and it goes, take a picture of your receipt. I'm like, man, they do not believe me. There's no code on these Butterfingers. I can't put in a code. They're just like, show us the receipt.
Mm-hmm.
Show us. The receipt. Damn, Square.
You say that as if it's something to be ashamed to light Butterfingers.
I also thought it was funny that it took 3 days. It legitimately took 3 days.
Somebody has to physically stare at it and be like, yep, that looks legit.
Exactly. They don't believe you. It's crazy.
I wonder what the counterfeit Butterfinger market's like.
Damn.
Let's get some Photoshop receipts, man. Just want that Tifa theme. It's in front of the menu. Okay. And that will be it for this week's Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on Twitter at Super GG Radio and twitch.tv/Super GG Radio, where the Hartwigs are currently finishing up episode 5 of Getting It Together with Sam and Kevin. I saw a skeleton cat that was being ridden by a squirrel. I asked questions and then I didn't want to ask any more questions. Let's see. Joel, making progress in Animal Crossing. We played some Diablo with some friends.
There's no progress. It's just a treadmill.
Yeah, that's true. I played some Diablo with some crew. I had Steve in there, my friend Eric. And I think that we're going to go with Pode next week. And if you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is superggradio@gmail.com and provide a review on iTunes or the Halo enemy reskin of your choice. You got something to say, Joel?
No, I have said my piece. That was it. There's an enemy reskin in Gears of War. That's just a Halo enemy.
Even in the outro. Thanks for listening. GG, Joel.
Good game.
Good game, Gaddy.
GG.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.